and the source of all true ministry, whatever that ministry might happen to be, and we all have some ministry as Christians, is the true source of that always is grace. It has to be grace. There can't be any other motive than grace. And it's important, and the brothers have already mentioned, is connecting Luke 22 with John 21. Because even in Luke 22, when the Lord admonished Simon that Satan had desired to sift the disciples and to sift him, that when he was restored, he said, you will establish your brethren. So that's in direct connection with what we have here in chapter 21. And as we have said, it becomes more public in connection with the other disciples. But, you know, well, maybe we just look at Luke 22 just briefly. Luke 22 and verse 31. Strikingly here, the Lord uses Simon's natural name. This is well known to all of us, but Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. That is, Satan has desired to have all of you, the whole company, and to sift all of you. But then specifically, Peter in verse 32, but I have prayed for you, Peter. I have prayed for you. Peter was the leader. You know, and Satan attacks, and we see this always in the church, down through the ages and even today. Satan always attacks the leaders. It's the same principle in warfare. You look for the general. You look for the captain. If you get him down, then the troops are discouraged. And so ever since Simon had confessed the Lord Jesus as the Son of the living God in Matthew 16, he was immediately under satanic pressure. Because immediately following that, he says, Lord, you will never go to the cross. And what does the Lord say? Get behind me, Satan. You see, right there, he was already under satanic pressure. And so the Lord says, I have prayed for you, Simon, specifically. And I love the thought that your faith fail not. He knew he would fail, but it was his faith that he prayed for. And so when we come to chapter 21, we see this thought again, as brothers have mentioned, with the return to the fishing. His influence as the leader in verse 3, when Peter says, I'm going fishing, we also will go with you. And again, whether this was a permanent thing he had in his mind or temporary, the Lord doesn't say. The Lord doesn't really criticize them for it. But he enters, and this is the thought of our reading, the Lord with us, he enters into the situation with them, specifically with this commissioning or recommissioning Peter to this place of service again. And so he says to Peter in verse 15, do you love me more than these? And I believe that's in reference to the other disciples. You know, the boast, even though all deny you, Lord, I will never. And now, as Brother John has said, the guilt has been dealt with. It's not a guilt question. But Peter had been deeply humbled by this event, to not even lift his head in front of his brethren. And, of course, the three times asking and so on. And I think it was mentioned with the 153 fishes, an expression of the Lord's sovereignty. And we get the sovereignty brought out in verse 17. You know, the Lord knows his own. He knows his elect from the beginning. He knows your beginning. He knows your end. And so in verse 17, he says, Peter says, Lord, you know all things. Lord, I can't even say myself now if I have affection, right? I don't trust myself. All I know now that in my flesh dwells no good thing. I know that now, but I don't know much else. But I know that you know that maybe down there somewhere there's that affection. I don't trust myself anymore. That's really what this is about. So the Lord, he recognizes the Lord's sovereignty. And, you know, when we mentioned Luke chapter 5, when he commissioned Peter and the other disciples, he said, now leave your nets and become fishers of men. You know, it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing at any time, but first century Galilee, right? If you had a good job fishing and he had a good fishing job, you're in those days in that place, you're only one or two days away from starvation, right? If you had a good source of income or food for your family, just to walk away from it. And the Lord says, no, you don't have to worry about that, Peter. Don't worry about that, right? I can provide lots of fish, right? So many it'll break your net. Just leave your nets and come follow me. But now he goes back again to the nets. And so this is gone over again. But then verse 18, I just would say this. The contrast, when you were young and when you shall be old. And I love that contrast there. When you were young versus when you were old. And so the Lord knows our frame, what we're like when we're young. And maybe our natural energy and our natural way. But when you're old. When he was young, he girded himself. He said, Lord, even though all deny you, I will not deny you. But when he came face to face with death, with martyrdom, he couldn't stand before it. But he says, when you're old, you'll go the way that you didn't want to go. But another will give you grace. And so he mentions that. Speaking of his martyrdom, when you're old, you'll stretch forth your hands. That the Lord would die as a martyr on a cross. That's what it signifies. You'll die this way, Peter, just like I did. But you won't do it in your own strength. I will lead you. I will guide you. Peter speaks about that in his first epistle, doesn't he? Or second epistle, chapter 1, where he says, verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tent, my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus has shown me. And he's referring to the scene on the beach when the Lord said that he would die for him as a martyr. And so we see always, it's always grace, brethren. It's always grace, the source. Our salvation is grace. Our Christian life is grace. Our service for the Lord Jesus must be through grace.